All right, another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio presented by the Moto Hub. The Moto Hub is the only social media app dedicated to motocross and dirt bike enthusiasts. Make sure to check us out at themotohub.com or find us in the App Store or the Google Play Store. On this episode, we have privateer rider out of Pennsylvania. It's Vincent Lahovey. He made his pro debut this year at High Point, raced 5 nationals. Had some really good results. Also, you know, he took advantage of that new amateur rule. So he raced Loretta's, and he just got done at the Baja Brawl. So we talked to him about all that great stuff. Also on the show is Brandon Scher, who recently retired after a pretty gnarly supercross injury. But he's still riding. He's still doing some 125 dream races, training some kids at South of the Border. So we talked to him about all that as well. As always, huge thanks to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants. Check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D. Lubricants.com. They're makers of high quality racing oil, and as well as some degreaser, chain lube, all that great stuff. And they want to hook you up with 25% off their products. So use the promo code whiskey at bloodlubricants.com. As always, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. All right, let's get into it. Me right now is a rider out of Pennsylvania. It's Vincent Lahovey. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Just, you know, ready for this weekend so I can ride my dirt bike a little more.
Sounds good. Yeah, I just came back from the Baja Brawl. I really enjoy going there every year, and actually, I'm just taking the bikes apart right now. The sand totally destroys your bikes, but it's all right. I enjoy taking them apart. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm just doing my thing, getting ready for the weekend, go racing again at High Point.
Let's talk about Baja Brawl a little bit. I saw that on your social media, and it looks like you had a good weekend there. First in 250A, second in 250 Pro, and fourth in 450A. How was it?
Yeah, it was a blast. It's I'm not really used to sand tracks, but I really enjoy this every year and just have some. It's a really high-speed track, and it gets really, really rough. And it's a lot of fun. The event's really fun. All the stuff that they have going on there is just different. But, yeah, I executed some good starts. And I ran shy on some tear-offs and some motos and had to yank the goggles, but which is pretty rough on that wet sand because there was some rain and some of the motos near the end. But I had some solid motos. The first moto, 250A, I pulled the start and ran away with it. That felt good to get that win. And then in that class, I just pretty much stayed consistent. Everyone was really fast, and I just tried my best every moto, and it was enough to wrap it up. I had a good time and got some cool awards, got the number one plate, and, yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah, it just seems like the atmosphere at that event is really cool. I guess being after Loretta's maybe – it's more laid back, and obviously I saw, like, by the lake, they had Ronnie Mack doing crazy stuff. They had guys on jet skis. It seemed like a good time.
Oh, yeah, it's a real good time. I mean, Loretta Lynn's is a whole different world there. Mm-hmm. You go there, and, you know, me personally, you know, I don't get to ride all that much. On top of going there and riding there, it's, like, a whole different world. It's sand. That's not even, like, real sand. It's, like, that, like, super fine stuff that just pushes. And the track's real tight, and it's all about line choice, and it's a really big challenge. I mean, I made my pro debut this year, and I did a couple nationals, and to me, that's twice as hard as any national.
Yeah, just watching it on TV, it seems super gnarly, and I actually went and try to look up your results from this year at Loretta's, and I can't find them on the vault, but how'd that go for you?
I didn't do as good as I planned on doing, but that's pretty much the story every year for me when I go there, because it's so hard to, everyone's able to, hit some facilities and stuff and get that feel for that dirt and stuff. And I'm just trying to, make money to get there. So you show up and you kind of have to, I kind of have to adapt every year. So I mean, I struggled in my first couple motos. Honestly, I can't remember what I got my first motos, but I got better as the week went on, and I got 8th or 7th, I believe, and 450 in the pro sport, and I pulled two hole shots, so that was cool. And then my last moto, I ran almost, I got close to the top 10 in the 250. I came from like 17th to 12th, or 8th, from 18th to 12th, but like I said, I always feel better near the end of the week. I don't know if it's because the sand starts to mix with the dirt and starts to, turn it like more of like a dirt track where I'm comfortable. But later in the week there, I always seem to just get better. But no, I definitely had the speed. I showed good speed there, and I had a good time there.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, like you said, sometimes even, top guys, if you look back, the guys who are getting top 10 now in the pro ranks, like sometimes they don't have a good Loretta's at all. It's just such a it's a one-off event, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way, and it just goes to show, man, you can't like base everything off that, where I think a lot of people try and think that Loretta's everything when it's really not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the big opportunity every year, and all the teams are there watching, and I try my best every time I go there, even though to me I'm like, man, I really don't like this place, but I have to go there and try my best to try to, prove something. But I think I really proved, if someone hasn't seen what I've been doing at Nationals, I think I'm really proving something there. I've known my whole life, like just from racing people in these short amateur races, I knew that like I'd be better in the longer motos at Nationals, and just the way the layout is, the long motos with the short break, and you have to go back out. That's when everything really starts to change when you get to that level. You get a lot of people that are super fast in the amateurs. Obviously they're all great riders, but it's so different at a national, and I'm beating people on Nationals I never beat before, amateur. And my last round, I got more and more confident every week, and I enjoy the Nationals so much. It's so much fun. But my last race, I kind of broke away from, like the people I battled. Well, first of all, I was able to qualify in all the events. I made it to straight to the main, which was really awesome. That was a big accomplishment for me. And another big thing was I was the only Suzuki privateer rider, and I made it in. And like I said, near the end, I started getting close every single time in the second moto. I started getting closer and closer to the top 20, and I was holding off a lot of factory guys and everything. It was just so cool, and just feeling like I belong there, and just I knew if I had a little bit more, like maybe I could have been up in there. It was just exciting to see that what I'm doing all my own is getting me that far already. You know what I mean? So I had a misfortune on the last moto at Ironman. I was in a battle with Kyle Peters on a JGR Suzuki, and I cracked my piston with 3 laps to go, and it was going to be a good battle to the end, but that was misfortunate. But no, I really enjoyed the Nationals and everything about that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool with this new like amateur rule that came out this year. You were able to try a couple nationals even before Loretta's. Like you said, man, you came close to points a couple times, so I'm sure you're pretty stoked with the way it all went out for your first, year out there.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was really cool how they did that. I really wanted to go to at least one or two. I wasn't expecting to, I had no expectation when I made my debut at High Point. I knew it was going to be super hard, and I'm not sure about the how many points you need for whatever, but that was really cool how they did that, because I needed that practice with those guys to go to the Loretta's, because to be honest, the top 10 all day long at Loretta's, are all national level, you know what I mean? so it was like a good warm up for that.
So, are you full-time pro now, or are we gonna do some more amateur stuff until it's time to jump up?
Yeah, I'm finishing the year off. Right now, I'm gonna go to Minios and do a couple more
Okay.
brands, but next year, I'm gonna focus on pro. Doing this, so I'm gonna try to get some Supercross points. I wasn't able to do that last year. I'll try my best this coming year, and no, next year I plan on doing as many nationals as I possibly can, and pro-ams and stuff like
I
that.
gotcha.
Not gonna hit Loretto's next year, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much proven to yourself and everyone that, you can hang right up there and you're right there on the cusp of points. So just it makes sense just to, keep trying it and, next year put in some top 20 rides.
Yeah, I think, that's the way to go. Over the years, I've always heard stories and everything. People were talking about rides at Loretta's, how they're already taken, and how it's just like Loretta Lynn's is just like a big show or whatever. But I don't know. I learned a lot going there. I don't regret going there. But I do think if I could go back, I would have maybe thought about just going, because I earned my pro license in 2017, but I broke my thumb, so I couldn't even think about racing
Yeah.
national at the Loretta's, because I raced with a broken thumb at Loretta's. But last year maybe I should have just did it, but I still learned a lot last year at Loretta's, because it is the national. Over the years, from 65 to where I am now, we learned every year there was something new that we would learn about goggles or some
Yeah.
kind of suspension setup. So it definitely helped me. It didn't get me anything big, but it definitely helped me with a lot of little important things for myself.
Yeah, it seems like just, learning a little something here and there, when you finally you put it all together, everything you've learned over the years, and it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really does. It does set you up for the pros. Me and my dad go to the pros, and we're actually like, wow, this is like a lot. We thought it was going to be really hard, like the setup and everything. And no, it's actually not bad at all. We really enjoy it. It's easy. Everything's on time. It's done quick. And it's just like, well, as you do your sight lap, spare goggles, you got your race goggles ready to go, and it's a lot of fun. The banners, just the whole atmosphere is just like that. It just shows that you're there, and it just makes me feel good that I made it. Like that was my goal, to always be a pro racer. So I really enjoy every second of that.
You mentioned earlier you were the only privateer Suzuki out there. Why do you ride Suzuki?
I have Suzuki's because, I'm up in Sky out there, and I got a local shop, Hillview Motorsports, and they gave me a decent deal on Suzuki's, so I bought them. And I have a local PAMX series, it's called, and I make good contingency. These things pay really good
Yeah.
contingency. But I mean, I learned a lot with these too. Like you make good contingency, but I had to put every dime I had from it to put into it to try to. They're great local bikes. They're great bikes, don't get me wrong, but it takes a decent amount of money to make it, with the rest, because like but whenever you mod it, yeah, like I said, they're good bikes. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm really trying my best. I really like the bike, but as it's looking right now, it's gonna kind of be hard to keep it and not change brands and try to reach the goals I want to achieve, because I just think, there's enough other brands that I think would help me get there a little bit easier than what I have to do right now to this.
I gotcha. And another thing I noticed, you really stood out with that True MX gear. That's a local Pennsylvania company, right?
Yeah, I've been with him since day one. I had a local race. I remember he just came out, and I actually got accepted to go to Monster Energy Cup, and he just started selling goggles, and I had some clapped goggles, and he offered me a pair and everything, and I liked them, and you know, we hit it off and went to Monster Cup and really exposed it, and it's he's really been building. You know, the stuff's been getting better and better and better, and I try my best to promote him because he really has been, you know, getting better, and the stuff is so nice. I just want everyone to see it and, you know, help him get bigger because he deserves it. He's helped me for years now. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that I'm more like a simple, like when it comes to gear, I don't like all the different colors and stuff like that. And that I think it's blue and black, and then the pink and black stuff that he has is looks really good. You can see it from, you know, the aerial shots and everything. You can see the gear really well.
Yeah, his stuff really stands out. Yeah, he makes colorful gear. He makes, you know, more plain gear. He changes it up. He went to compression sleeve, and me and him, we test, you know, different material and everything. And it's all getting really good. And his latest stuff, it's like so like flex. It doesn't even feel like you're wearing gear. Just so I can't even describe it. It's just so comfortable. Like when you know, you ever swing a leg over your bike, whenever you just put, you know, for the first time and you have your new gear pants
Oh
on and
yeah.
it just feels real tight and you have to like pull your pants up out of your boot and stuff. Well, that new gear is just like, it's so flexible. You don't have to do any of that. And it holds up and, you know, I'm really happy with all of his stuff.
Yeah, definitely. For all listeners, check them out. True MX. I might have to get me a set too because, like I said, it looks really good. What's your program like during the week? Are you able to ride at all during the week, or are you working just try to save up for the weekends?
That's exactly it. I just, you know, it sounds really bad, but I rarely get to ride because it's just by the time I get back, you know, I do my own bikes. I have to make my own money to get to the next race by the weekend. You know, it took Monday, Tuesday to get the bikes ready, and well, mostly Monday. Well, no, I guess Tuesday, but then I work with my dad. We do concrete. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, I load again, and then we leave Friday morning. So it's kind of really hard. If I do get to ride, I'll ride up in my trails. I have like a little tiny woods loop and just to get the feel of my bike and just
Yeah.
put around, but I rarely get to. Yeah, so that's one thing that I really wish I could do more, but to be honest, like I don't even I at with my program right now, I really can't. I make sure I work out all the time. I'm always working out and everything, but it's really hard to, you know, try to ride a couple days a week because of the schedule is just too much.
And in the off season during the winter, are you able to head south, or are you still just up there in the snow?
Up there, I'm always here, but last year I got to go once or twice just for a couple weekend deals, but that's another goal. I really, every year we always say it. Yeah, we'll go somewhere for a couple of weeks, and it never happens just because, you know, money's so tight. We do
Yeah.
concrete, you know, nothing's going on in the wintertime, so it gets a little bit tight, and I'm always trying to get new stuff or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's the goal for me is to try to keep riding over the winter, and also the supercross stuff starts, so hopefully I can branch off and do some of that. Try my best to get my points.
I gotcha. Let's switch gears a little bit here. How did you first get started riding, and when did you start?
I first started riding because, well, my dad used to ride. He never really raced. And my big sister had a quad, and he got her a little JR50. And me and my twin sister, we were way too little to even think about it, but we had these little battery bikes. But then once I was 2 and a half, like almost 3 years old, I was two though. And my dad sat me on the little JR50 in the garage. And I rode it around and everything. And then all of a sudden he built a track in our backyard, a little tiny one. And me and my sisters, we all ride around, but I turned into my bike. He got a quad. And then after that, I rode every single day. I had horrible blisters on my hands. I totally would wear, I mean, I'd go through gallons and gallons of gas. And, you know, I just had a blast doing it. He'd build me little jumps and we'd practice timing. Just me and him. And then, I ended up just, you know, going up on the, Mini Adventure KTM was my first like legit bike with suspension and all that. And then I started racing local series, District 5 and everything. And then I got a Cobra 50, and then I went undefeated for like a couple years. And then, yeah, but that's how it all started. My dad rode. He was a good rider, but he never really raced. And then the whole family kind of rode around, but I took it more serious and then just started racing.
I gotcha. It's funny, man. I started on a JR50 as well and went right up to the KTM Adventure as well. So kind of similar starts there. I feel like that's pretty similar for most guys out there now.
Yeah, I made my first race at 4. And then my training wheels on, and it was a mud race. I'll never forget it. I got 3rd. that's how it all started. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. Well, it seems like a lot of fast guys come out of that Pennsylvania area. Did you grow up racing with anyone that's out there now, pro?
Someone that I raced with my whole life, Timmy Crosby. He races a 450 mm-hmm. class, and he's a really good rider. Me and him grew up together. And then there's a lot of people that are a couple years above me that are racing pro, like Jason McConnell, Nick Fretzler, Bradley Esper. Oh, I also race with Esper, Bradley Esper. Mm-hmm. A couple of them guys, yeah, we're all out there trying to, you know, live our own dreams and, you know, do the best we can.
That's awesome, man. It's really cool to see, like, even when I look at, like, the Loretta's results, like, everyone seems like they race the same people from the time they started racing all the way, even in the pro ranks. It's pretty wild to think about.
Yeah, it is. It all kind of, you know, it's crazy, though. A couple years ago, I remember watching some of the super mini guys, like Cicerello and then Sexton and them guys, and then doing before you know it, I'm racing them. Mm-hmm. And then in the amateur ranks, and then they kind of burst out into the pro because they have all, you know, they have the team and everything. And then, it was just cool, though. I'm working my way up to there myself. And it takes a little longer because everything just seems to fast forward whenever they have, mm-hmm. you know, that team.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, like, people that I was able to battle with amateur-wise, you know, they're leaps and bounds ahead because of what they got, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, they're all great riders, but it really does show, like, you know, a few mm-hmm. people that have got that equipment that they didn't have before. It's amazing to see what it does, and I just, my goal is to get that myself because I really think if I got that next level, like, if I just got a little bit more help, I really think if I got to ride a couple more days a week and, you know, focus on just riding, I really think things would change.
Yeah, I definitely, like, agree. Like you said, man, just a little bit of help, just even financials, just getting to the different races, man, it just goes a long way, like you said. Sounds like you're pretty busy, you know, working and racing, but do you have any other hobbies outside of motocross?
I play guitar. I play guitar a good bit, actually. Me and my buddies, we come over. I have my little gym set up in the basement and everything, and then I bought some amps and microphones, and we have a good time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Other than that, really, not too much, really.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I do a lot of things. I don't really have something I do all the time. I mean, guitar and that, mm-hmm. I do often, but other than that, it's just work, guitar, training. You know, I'm all bike. I'm, like, all about my bikes. I love I like to work on my bikes.
That's awesome, man.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, just it's. I feel like it's hard to branch out into other things when, you know, you have to be so dedicated to be a, you know, professional motocross racer. So even to find some time to play guitar is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's just kind of, you know, the little bit of time I had to relax, I just kick back. I learned some little things. You know, I'm not the greatest, but I'll go on YouTube, look up some mm-hmm. songs and learn them. And just, yeah, that's definitely one of my hobbies I enjoy.
Well, all right, Vincent, man, thank you so much for coming on. And before I let you go, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. But, yeah, I'd like to thank, you know, my mom and dad, my sisters, you know, my aunt and uncle, everyone that's been behind me, you know, Department of Power. He helps me out with, like, porting and stuff, local guy. Truemax Gear, he does really good. He's been helping me out forever, really good stuff. MX Tire, Jeff Cernick, Suzuki Cycles, RM Army, MPR Suspension, Race Tech, Hillview Motorsports, MX Graphics, and anyone else I forgot, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you at Mini O's and racing some more next year.
Sounds good, man. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yep. See ya.
See you later.
What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUDlubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right, on the line with me right now is the recently retired Brandon Scherer. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Just hanging out here. I've just been in the hurricane, I know, but just having some fun hanging out, enjoying myself.
Oh, yeah? You're in South Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I'm here at South of the Border.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm from South Florida, so we had a pretty big scare last week, but I guess it went up to you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hey, like I said, man, you're recently retired. How is the retired life?
You know, I'm enjoying it so far. You know, the not racing week to week was definitely a bit different, but I've been lucky enough to get offered the job here at South of Border and be kind of still within the motocross industry and still training and being around the riding and all that every day. So, you know, that's definitely cool. But it was definitely a different, not going racing every weekend and I don't have to wake up every day like, all right, I have to get certain training done and be ready for whatever. It's definitely tough, but I'm enjoying it for sure right now.
And obviously, I think a lot of people know you had a pretty bad injury in Supercross, at the beginning of Supercross. Is that kind of what, made you decide to retire? Or was that kind of what pushed you to this decision?
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely the push to make me kind of make that decision. I did have a pretty big injury in Supercross this year after NM1. I broke my back. I broke L2 through 5 in my lower back. And compressed a couple discs down in there. So that's kind of the source of my issues. And, it was a big scare at the beginning. I was partially paralyzed, I guess. My left side kind of wasn't quite right for a while. You know, it was like 8 hours or so before I could feel anything. And then the next couple weeks, the first like 4 weeks or so, I was still kind of developing stuff. So it was definitely a scare, but it came back and it hasn't been too bad. It was a decent, it was like 5 months in a back brace, with just kind of minimal, like obviously I couldn't bend or do too much of twisting or anything like that. But, it was just a normal, like any broken bone, kind of like a long comeback. But, it was definitely a big eye opener for sure.
Now, are you 100% back to normal, or is it you? Obviously, you're still riding. We see you at the couple of 125 All-Star races, but are you still feeling the effects when you're out there on the bike?
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of one thing also. I was kind of leaning on the retiring side, and then I was like, all right, I got cleared to go back to somewhat normal activity. So I tried riding, and I was like, all right, you know, maybe, you know, full time isn't in the cards anymore. You know, I still, as the doctors say, I am healed. Everything, you know, pretty well came as best as it could. But I think I still have somewhat pain here and there, and I can't do a lot of stuff. Like like doing long motos is kind of still out of the picture. I think the longest I've ridden before my back started turning is only like 15 minutes at the most.
Okay.
So it's pretty short. And then like I'm still, if I do ride, I'll ride like a day, and then I'm pretty well off for like 3 or 4 days, pretty solid. I just kind of walk around and, you know, do my normal day to day. But there's, I don't think I could ride like 2-3 days in a row with being able to recover or anything like that.
I gotcha. I was super bummed to hear about it. One, because obviously I don't want anyone to get hurt, but dude, 2018 was a really good year for you. You know, it seemed like you're breaking out. You got national number 58. I'm sure you felt the same about it.
Yeah. You know, 2018 was definitely a good year for me. It was my first full year in the 450 class. Supercross wasn't bad. You know, I made every night show. I made a couple mains, my first couple mains, and, you know, it kind of got my feet wet. So I kind of knew, you know, and I learned a lot of stuff as the season went on last year in Supercross, learning the it's just different racing, you know, 450 versus 250 stuff. And, you know, I felt very comfortable on the bike this year coming into the season, and, you know, I felt solid. And then, and like you said, like last year, I had a great summer last year. You know, I was top 15, basically every round minus like two where my bikes broke, but I was top 15. I even had a top 10 in there, almost had another top 10, but I ran into a little trouble. But yeah, you know, it was a good building year, and I was looking to have a really good year this year, and, you know, really hoping to try and squeeze my way into like a fill-in ride or something somewhere at some point during the year. But you know, stuff happens, and make the best of it.
Yeah, it sucks. It does suck, but when you think about it, man, it's motocross. You know, at any moment anyone can get hurt, and it's kind of the risk you take when you compete at the sport at the highest level.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So since retiring, obviously you're at South DeBoer now. I know you're training some kids there, but what else have you been up to since you stopped racing full time?
Honestly, not too much, man. I've been training the kids here at South DeBoer now. Like I said, that's been keeping me busy, and I love it. You know, I love seeing – it's been kind of bringing back the roots, you know. I've been away from amateur racing for almost, 8 years, pretty much. And, you know, I kind of forgot all about it, and seeing it and seeing all their goals, you know, it brings back all the memories of kind of what I – kind of how I came up, you know, aiming for a lot of the same stuff. You know, they have the select nationals, and then they have all their just local stuff, and they kind of have their – goals and mindset on things, which I think is really cool. And it's really cool to help them develop something where I think it can be beneficial for them in the future.
That's awesome, man. And obviously it's a high quality facility, one of the premier amateur facilities. Who are some of the kids you're training now that we need to keep an eye on that are going to be in the pro ranks here soon?
Yeah, for sure. Some of the kids coming up, Devin Simonson's really good. He's like he's A class now, but like in the B class last year he was pretty good. Logan Best, he's one of our normal kids here. He did solid at Loretta's, and he's third and fourth overall, so he was good. And then Austin Schaefer, he did well at Loretta's, and he usually does well pretty well everywhere he goes. He puts in a couple good results. And then, you know, we had a good amount of kids most of the summer. Like we had Ivan Aldama and Matty Jorgensen, unfortunately, had a knee injury right before Loretta's, but he seemed really good for how young he was. And then even some pros, like Jair Mitchell, he did some Canadian stuff, and, you know, he's got talent. So, you know, there's a lot of kids here, and it's for sure cool. And there's a lot, and this is one of those places, like, I've seen or kind of heard, like, certain places, they, you know, people don't really pass through them. They're kind of like, right, they're there for full-time or not, and it's cool to have kids. Like, that's one cool thing about here, it's pretty open, so like if you guys just set it up, people could come. And, you know, like, if even if it's just for a week at a time, there's been a lot of times where, like, certain people will come just for a week, and it's cool to see them and help them kind of just, you know, short-term goals, like little one, just like for a week of cleanup or whatever. It's pretty cool.
Then that place is just unique in general too. I bought a truck in DC 2 years ago now, and I stopped by on my way back down to Florida, and it's amazing. It's weird to think that there's a motocross track there, because it's total tourist town. And then you look back out in the back, and there's huge jumps and perfect, that clayish dirt. It looks awesome.
Yeah, for sure. That's the same thing I said when I first got in here. I was like, well, here, like you said, the tourist station is just a whole bunch of goofy stuff. They're south of Border Fame. So, yeah, and then you go out in the back of the place and you see the dirt bike track. And, most days we're out here training, but yeah, it's a cool dirt bike track and it's a really cool facility.
So you're from the LA area. How much different is it living in SoCal and then Dillon, South Carolina?
It's 100% different. It's definitely nothing alike. I definitely enjoy it out here. The slower pace, not a million people everywhere all the time. I enjoy it very much. But yeah, growing up in California is definitely it's different. And I actually grew up in the city in LA, not far from like the beach and stuff. So it was definitely a lot different coming out here, but I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, different in a good way, it seems. Seems like most motocross riders are the same. Like the wide open spaces, not to be confined in a little, or not a big city, but like tight spaces,
Yeah, definitely.
So we saw you race some 125 Dream Races in Florida and Buds Creek. How fun were those?
Dude, those things are really fun, actually. Those Dream Races are cool. It's definitely fun. You still get to be around. For me, it's like I still get to be around the races without actually having to do the full, I don't want to say dramatic schedule, but the full works of it.
Less.
It's cool. It's short. There's no stress on time practice or anything. I just go have some fun, ride a little bit, and then it's a short little 4 lap race where I can just kind of have some fun again and show a little bit of, go as fast as I can in a way and be safe with it, but. And it's on a 125, and not there's nobody out there that can say they don't like the sound of 125. The things are sick to hear, and they're fun to ride. They're easy. There's nothing easier to ride than a 125.
Dude, there's no better sound than the gate drop on one of those 125 Dream Races, because every single bike out there is wide open. It's just, I don't know, it's like music to my ears.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely brought back some fun. It's I was trying to have some fun with it, and I definitely did. I came out for the Florida one, and I didn't expect anything. I was just like, oh, let's have some fun. I'm seeing my friends again. And I pulled out a third. I got a halfway decent start, I guess, and kind of just rode around up there, and I did good. And then Buds Creek, I got eaten alive in the start. I came out of the gate pretty good. I was like, all right, cool. I should have a decent start. And I shifted, and I just watched everyone like roll by me. I was like, well, I might have some work to do. So I made as many moves as I could, and I ended up fourth, which is still cool. It's fun. A lot of those amateur kids do Loretta's and stuff. The kids are pretty, they're good and their bikes are really fast. So I'm definitely, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely, man. And switch it up here a bit. Growing up in the city, how did you get into motocross? Like, when did you first start riding?
Being from the city, yeah, my dad rode out in the desert, kind of my family. We rode out in the desert when I was younger, and, he kind of got me into it. I started just riding like just out in the desert on like a little three wheeler, and then they got my motorcycles when I was like six. So, not the typical, like a lot of people, like, oh, my parents race and all that. Not really. My dad just rode for fun, but they got me into it, and then some other people kind of talked us into trying racing, and we gave it a try, and it kind of stuck for sure and never stopped.
Were you right when you started racing? Were you serious about like hitting all the nationals and Mammoth and all that, or was that later? When did you really start thinking, okay, I'm gonna go pro and let's take this really serious?
So yeah, when I first started, we were very lucky that like our best friends around the tracks really knew what they were doing with it. So when I first started, I raced with the Paluzzi, Nick Paluzzi, Daniel Paluzzi, and obviously Nick had been doing it a little longer than us, and his dad Mike knew the. Kind of knew the circuit, I guess he did it when he was younger, and he just kind of showed Nick and them the way. So they kind of, whatever they did, we just followed, and we always set it up that way. And right out of the gates, right when I first started racing, they kind of told us where to go, and somehow I made Loretta's my very first year. And right away we got thrown right into the ropes for sure, like right into the the national circuit. So realistically, I raced nationally from the get go. I kind of was hit and miss here and there for a few years going on the road and stuff like that, because, you know, sometimes everyone develops at different stages. So I was definitely not the greatest amateur in the world. I would go to the races, and sometimes I do well, and sometimes there are nationals and it's horrible. So, you know, but we always had fun with it, and it kept me going. But as I went, there's really – I wasn't one of those with a huge goal, like, oh, I'm going to ride for a factory team and be in Supercross. I never really saw that. So I was about probably 14, like, around my super mini schoolboy year. I kind of – I think I must have been right where I was kind of making that jump. Like, I think that's where I started getting a little bit faster and I wasn't too bad. Where I was like, oh, maybe I could do Supercross. Like, I was starting to know some people racing and stuff like that. And I kind of looked at it like, oh, cool, maybe I can make it work. But there was still really no thought of trying to go in on a factory team or making, you know, anything like that. So, you know, I just kind of kept on chugging along with it. And then we tried getting support from some factory stuff, and I was just a little bit behind the eight ball for sure on that. You know, I was just, you know, I wasn't going to get the main factory support when I was always really good at being like a 6th to 10th place guy as an amateur.
I got you.
So, yeah, for sure. You know, I just wasn't, you know, it was never in the cards. Like, all right, we need to be talking to these teams or anything like that to be getting ready for pro. That was never part of it. So I just kept on kind of slowly stepping our way out, and the same thing, I kept following Nick. But he was obviously, he was a good bit better, and he went right on to a team outdoors.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared from the scene. I was, what, 2 or 3 years pro, and what's he up to now?
Yeah, Nick actually had an injury as well. We actually both got hurt at the same time, but he had a pretty bad injury. He actually injured his neck, and that, you know, that was kind of the same thing. He definitely opened up his eyes and everyone's eyes around, and he's like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't want to risk it that much more. So he stopped, and he went back to school, and I guess he became an audiologist. So he works as like a doctor.
Okay.
Worked on ears. So, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just puts everything in perspective for you. You know, when you do have an injury like that, it's like, I can't race dirt bikes forever. You know, there is life after moto.
For sure. Definitely.
So, even other than, you know, Paluzzi, growing up in SoCal, you must have raced a lot of fast guys growing up, even at the local races?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Who were some of your, like, I guess, I don't want to say rivals, but just some guys you kind of grew up racing with that are racing today or went pro?
Oh, yeah. A lot of my age range, you know, people from SoCal that we always raced were like, kind of like Epstein when we were younger. Savaki was still here before I moved back east to MTF and kind of really developed there. But there's the Savaki, and then Jesse Nelson would come down from up north and we'd race with him. And then at the Nationals, there's just local stuff. You know, there wasn't, like, we'd have like Poltelli and just a whole bunch of the regular locals. It's crazy to think that not a lot of them made it pro. There were so many that I was consistently got beat by as an amateur, and always kind of like, all right, these guys are there, hopefully they can run their pace. And now, you know, the same deal, they kind of all just fizzled out too.
Yeah, man, it's a grind, you know. Like you said, you jumped right in the national amateur scene, like, from the beginning. I'm sure it wears you out and it burns some people out.
Yeah, definitely burns out some kids. Crazy to think that, but yeah, I get burnt out, and, you know, I think I was lucky. I won't say lucky, that wasn't that great, but it definitely kept that fire, you know, fire burning inside. I never really got that burnout or anything like that, because I think for me it was like going to school the whole time. I never got to go homeschool until way late. You know, I was only through at least 1 year of high school. I was in regular school, and then I, you know, I was only riding one day a week on the weekend. And then once I was about 16, I'd say I was probably 16. I got to go into like an independent program through my high school, and then I only had to go to school twice a week, so then I could ride like 2 days a week and on the weekend. So that's kind of when things started changing for me.
I got you, man. That's awesome. So since you're not doing full-time pro racing and stuff like that, have you ever been able to pick up some hobbies that you know, never could before because of racing that you always wanted to?
A little bit, you know. I actually enjoy golf. I really like golf. And me and my fiance actually, we go a lot. I've kind of brought her into it. She actually likes it now too. So, we actually go golfing a whole bunch around here, even though it's just for fun. But really, besides that, I don't do too much, man. I just kind of, I try to help the kids out here as much as I can. And I have kind of taken like a role of like a mechanic, like a support guy here at the track, because there actually isn't a real mechanic here. So I try to help out a lot of the kids that don't have one, or if they need help, I kind of help out with certain things. And, but yeah, besides that, that's really all we do. We kind of train all the kids here, go golf, and then, you know, just kind of hang out.
I got you, man. That's awesome. And you mentioned your fiance. One of the coolest things I remember, like, I think you guys were the first one that I noticed where your girlfriend was your mechanic at the time. She was holding the pit board and stuff like that. How was that? Did it make it easier on you, or was she kind of hard on you when you didn't do so well?
Oh, no, she's tough on me when I didn't know. No, I'm just kidding. I definitely loved it. You know, for like last year and in the last couple of years, you know, there were a lot of times I couldn't, you know, I didn't have the funds to like fly out somebody to be my mechanic, or even pay them to be my mechanic, and she was going to be there regardless. So she stepped in, and you know, I still did all the bike work myself and all that, but like she definitely threw the board for me and did all that, and kind of stayed on top of me to eat and all that. So it was really cool. But yeah, I was fine with it. Like everyone says, a lot of things, a lot of issues, and the main goal for a lot of people with the mechanic is just to keep them calm and kind of how to click with them. So, you know, she really, you know, she kept me calm, and it didn't bother me at all, and, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like I said, I think you guys were like the first boyfriend and girlfriend that I noticed out there, that, or the first, she was the first girl that was holding the pit board for her boyfriend out there. Now I feel like a lot of people do it. I know Bob Piazza does it, and it seems like every time I go to a national, I see more and more, you know, girls out there holding pit board and stuff. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of a, I'll say a phase, kind of in and out, because I remember way back in the day seeing that, people having their wives or girlfriends or fiancés or whatever kind of helping them out. And yeah, definitely, I've seen more for sure as of recent.
Yeah, man. So what's next for Brandon? Do you got anything upcoming, like off races planned or anything like that?
Honestly, I don't know. Just kind of right now, just cruising. Whatever all the local kids here kind of know about. I know that we have the race here south of border next weekend, I believe. And then I saw there's the Pastrana race in like a month. And then last year I did a fun race down in Florida around Halloween. And that was pretty fun. I had a pretty good purse at it. But, you know, in that, yeah, there's a whole bunch of local races in the next, couple months around here, like through November. There's a handful all in the East Coast. I guess they're what I'd call the East Coast area, kind of Southeast Coast area. There's a lot of local races that could be definitely some fun. I just got to kind of pick and choose, and I just listen to my body for sure and don't push anything anymore. It's not like it's a must at this point.
I got you. Well, awesome, man. I'm glad, you know, like I said, I was bummed to see you when you announced that you were going to retire, but it's awesome to see you're still out there riding, still out there having fun with it, so... thank you very much for coming on, and you enjoy the rest of your day. Stay dry out there with Dorian.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely. It was fun to come on. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I'm definitely going to try to stay dry and hope my power stays on and all that. So it should be fun.
Awesome, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. See ya.
All right, thank you. You too.
Bye. All right, another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio presented by the Moto Hub. The Moto Hub is the only social media app strictly for motocross dirt bike enthusiasts. Make sure to check them out. Either go to themotohub.com or check us out in the App Store or Google Play Store, and follow us on Instagram as well at themotohub1. On this episode, we have a privateer out of Pennsylvania. It's Vincent Luhovi. He made his pro debut this year, raced five nationals. He just got done racing Baja Brawl as well, so we talked to him about that, how he got to start racing, and a really cool kid, and he put in some really good results here for his first year, so make sure to keep an eye out on him moving forward. After that, we have Brandon Scherer on to talk about, you know, he recently retired, had a pretty bad injury, a back injury in Supercross, so he's training some kids at South of the Border now, racing some 125 Dream races, just, you know, having fun with dirt bikes, still on dirt bikes, so it's really cool to see. He comes on the show, and, you know, we talked to him about all that great stuff. As always, huge thanks to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, makers of high-quality motocross oil. They also have degreaser, chain lube, all sorts of stuff, so check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com. And you can use the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all of their products. As always, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. All right, let's get into it.
Charleston girl in a darkened room, and you don't know her like I do. We took the fire escape to her room and got stone raging blind. Left my money in the trusting hands of them old steel brothers in a fast grass band. One day I'm gonna drive up there and give them half my mind. I don't know if it's the wine or the coke that makes her sound like her jaw is broke. She's working hard to make some sense, but she ain't got a dime. I wish to God that I could help her out. I wish I knew what she was talking about. I wish to God that I could get away, but I'm way too drunk to drive. All I know is that when I am good and sober, I am leaving West Virginia for a while. Don't know why, but every time I cross that river, so fair. I believe if I could find my keys, I'd try to drive away. I never planned to leave so soon. I didn't know that he was sweet on you. Go ahead and take her, 'cause she ain't